I wanted to trying to think about what we were going to do here as we wrapped up Revelation last week. And if you missed that, I would invite you to check it out. It's on the YouTube thing, on our website, familybc.org, or in our podcast. But it was really good. Hopefully you grew and were blessed. Had such great conversations with so many of you about that. And folks looking at Revelation for the first time or again, right? So that's what was awesome. But I was thinking about it, and I'm like, you know, this came to mind, this idea of wrapping up 2020. Because, man, it is here. Like, the end is nigh, right? Not the end is nigh. Maybe it is. But the end of 2020, you know, Lord willing, is near. And so it's like, what can we learn as we look back? And I was hesitant to title it Wrapping Up 2020 because it's bigger than 2020, but it's definitely about 2020 as well, right? So I wanted to spend some time thinking and looking back through 2020. I've never done this before as a pastor of Family Bible Church. I don't know if you, but this I always want to do like an Advent Christmas series at this point in the year and, you know, looking towards New Year's and all that stuff. But I thought, let's look back on this crazy year to see what's happened, right, and what's going on. And the way I did that is I look back at the sermon series I did, and it blew me away. I always say that, you know, in pastoral life, like a week is like a month, and a month is like a year, and a year is like 10 years. You know, like there's this kind of compression of time. I don't know if you guys have that experience. Sometimes you're like, that was Tuesday, and it's like Thursday, you know. That's how life is sometimes. But I was looking back on it, and it was really funny because we started out this year talking about habits, right? Remember that, the very first series on habits? And I told some folks this week, I said, man, and that 2019 was rough for us. And we were like, man, we can't wait for 2020. I can't even tell you what was wrong in 2019 anymore. I don't even remember after 2020 what was wrong in 2019. But we talked about habits, and we had this idea of, you know, moving toward using systems and moving toward goals in that way instead of the traditional kind of like, what is it, resolutions that you're going to fail at or whatever, building in processes to help you succeed. And so that was one thing. Then we talked about love, remember, L-O-V-E, that we did for, and that was in February, right? So we're rolling along. We're like, love, that was kind of light, and we're going to get into some stuff. It's going to be cool. And then we had this series called Culture War, where we talked about how we engage with others, you know, and being hospitable and having honest conversations and all that stuff. But that was whenever it kind of went nuts in the middle of a culture war. And then we had already planned out the 72, the 3 days that changed everything for Easter. So we faithfully went through that. And after that, I remember we were like, what are we doing next, right? Because that's when things were off the rails as a community, really. I did the series called Not Afraid as a first kind of shot over the bow about how we're supposed to be positioned with this whole thing. I mean, and you know, we've learned a lot, but in some ways, nothing's changed, you know. We're all susceptible to die of one thing or the other, and we ought not fear that. I love that song we sang this morning about not being afraid. We have had some guest speakers this year. One talked about prayer. The language of lament, we talked about the Psalms and how many of them are about lamenting the situation. It's okay to speak that way. And then we came into the series of Revelation, which was not my idea, by the way. Someone brought that and said, hey, we should do Revelation. And I said no immediately. And then I prayed about it for a month, and then the Lord's like, you're doing Revelation. I'm like, okay. So I said, we're doing Revelation, and that's what we did. So praise God for those who are bringing ideas like that. And so I was thinking about that, and I'm like, you know, I wanted to ask a question. Like, so looking back at 2020, how's your habits going? Right? Like, we set out with this, like, we embarked on this great journey, and you could, any year you can make excuses, but 2020, it's like, you know what's funny? I bet you that for all of you, your habits have totally changed. Probably not how you said you was going to change them, maybe. Maybe some of you did. You set out, you saw the, you know, North Star, you're going to head for it no matter what, and the cultural thing. But man, for our world, dude, I was shopping last night. Habits have changed. I went to a funeral yesterday. Habits have changed. You ask permission. Are you shaking hands or not? That's a new habit, man. That's weird. If I'd have told you that in January, you'd have said, you're nuts. That'll never happen. Habits have changed, whether we change them on purpose or not. That's wild. Matter of fact, people keep talking about the new normal, and it's like, well, maybe it is the new normal. Like, that's weird, right? And some of us are like, no, but that's how habits change. So I was just thinking about stuff, and I thought, what are we going to do? What are we going to do for this series wrapping up? So I wanted to kind of look back, but it's not only about 2020, but think about what we can do. And the first thing that I wanted to share with you, I'm going to turn my mic off for a minute. flashes on this morning over here. We are going to, do some things together, I think, this morning, thinking about what we can do to change things. And this morning's title is To Thank God. And I want to pray for wisdom before we continue, but I'm going to wait till I set this table up first, because this is going to test my patience. I make that look easy. There you go. That's our little popsicle table, isn't it? Yeah, popsicles. Man, that's a habit that changed. We used to do that every week up on the square during the summertime. Yeah. So I thought we'd do this together. Before we continue, I do want to pray this morning. Pray with me if you would. Father God, this morning as we get into your word and think about life and how it really affects us, I pray that we would be attentive to your Holy Spirit's teaching and that you would teach us the things that we need to know. I do give you praise and thanks this morning, God, because you're worthy no matter what. And so in this time, we are listening to you and we're attentive to you as we consider the end of 2020 and the beginning of 2021, Father, that things you'd have us teach us. May we learn them well. Pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. So I thought, what are we going to do as we think about this and wrapping up? And then it just became obvious what we're going to do. We're going to wrap some things up. And so I was thinking, oh, did somebody move my stuff, some things? I had like Jenga and car... Oh. Stephanie Kramer, I'm blaming you over here, trying to take stuff. Yeah, this is not for now. I'm just kidding. Stephanie didn't do that. We probably did that. Awesome. So yeah, so I thought, so this first week I was thinking like, what do you do whenever your world feels like it's falling apart? You know, and I was thinking about what game would it be? And this was the game that's funny to me in this way. By the way, we go to some establishments, they have these like life-size ones. You ever seen those? Man, the nerves get up on those deals, right? And when it comes down, I remember one time Nico was hanging out with us and the whole thing crashed and he started crying and people started apologizing. It was hilarious. We have this game. And if you played it before, Jenga, it's this game where you start to get really stressed out about what's happening, you know? You start pulling out the blocks, and at first it's pretty casual, you're flipping the blocks around, but then the more sketchy things get, the more you're like, right? And you're like, and there's all these techniques you can use, which I'm not very good at this game, and you can kind of like move blocks, and somebody always pulls out the two blocks and makes that little teetery point in the middle that just ruins it forever. Yeah, you know what I'm talking about. Ruins it for the whole, like, oh, this game's doomed now. But every time, I was thinking about it, every time you pull out one of the blocks and it doesn't fall, what do you say? Well, I don't know what you say. Some of you say, ha ha, I knew I, no. I go, thank God. And you go to the next person, hurry. That's you. My hands are off of it, that's you. By the way, my teenage daughter said, you're not very good at wrapping gifts, Dad. We'll see about that. But you do, you say, oh, thank God it didn't fall while I have my hands on it, right? I mean, when that guy, that lady's thing goes wrong, well, then that's a whole different, that ain't my problem. But thank God it didn't happen while I was holding it. And so this is, I'm going to check my measurements here. Some of you are going to cringe as I wrap this gift, but it's going to be fine. It's going to be fine. I always feel bad people who spend a lot of time wrapping gifts and then it all ends up in the corner in a wad. How come your mouth is connected to scissors? You ever notice that? I don't know why those things are connected. I mean, before we had scissors, what did our mouths do? I don't understand what the Lord's doing. So there's these things in our lives where when they start to come apart, it's not our automatic thought often to thank God. We might pray against it. We might say, you know, oh, pray that it doesn't, pray that we get out of it, pray that it doesn't come apart. But how many of you, whenever the game crashes down in a way that you didn't expect, at that point, how many of you say, hey, praise God? See, that's a harder thing to do, I think. This is the cringy part. Don't watch this part. It's fine. I'm just going to put this underneath. And you make a little hospital corner, they call it. Put that. Oh, dude, I totally grabbed the wrong paper for this. I'll tell you why. I wanted to grab this paper right here. You'll see it up if you come up and look at it later, because it has a deer head on it. Because I thought, how many of you have a hunter in your family? And if they come home and they haven't injured themselves or someone else, you say, thank God. Or more seriously, they bring home some food for you to enjoy, and you say, thank God. That's right, man. We had some, we had men's night, and somebody brought out some deer. Oh, Dale Compton, that was delicious. And you eat and you say, oh, thank God. Now, we got a decision to make, church. I mean, these are some high stakes decisions, but what bow do we put on this? What color? The gold one? Do I even have it? I don't even have a gold one up here. You guys are looking over there. These are your only choices. White? The purple? Steve, I was going to do the purple, and then you said purple. Huh? The gold one? I can't even get it peeled off. The green matches. Yes? You listen, y'all. I literally can't peel this thing off. These are like some. Listen. I like what y'all think. No, what? What did you say, Ben? I'm doing two. I need y'all. By the way, this was always a fun thing that I thought would be cool. If you do gift wrapping for people, that's a pretty awesome blessing for folks, you know? Especially like me. Shh. You put this. Yeah, dude. Look at legit. Look how that. No. Which of you would not appreciate this? Thank you. You guys love it. You know it's good. Does that bother you just on the bottom? Here, look. Now it's on the top. There you go. What? No, it's fine. See, some of you folks are gifted. Here, look. I fixed it. Some of you folks are hung up on this stuff, but literally, I have so much empathy for you when you look over and it's just somebody's in a black bag just shoving it all in there ruthlessly. Save those bows. Nope, sorry, not saving any of the bows. Oh my gosh. Well, that didn't go too terribly bad. So I want to talk about that though, like how we are as we wrap up 2020 and we're looking to 2021, what we do when life falls apart, right? What do we do when life gets really sketchy? And I think that clearly what we're called to do is to thank God. Thank God. That's what we are called to do, and we're going to learn today in all circumstances. So I'm going to invite you to grab a Bible if you have one with you. Open it up to 1 Thessalonians 5, and if you didn't bring one, we have them on the end of the chair rows, and it's going to be page, can you push that next slide for me? Page 826, I think. 826. Just a few verses here that I want to talk about where it says that we should thank God. Okay, so chapter 5, verse 16 through 18. Let's see where it's at here. Yeah. You've heard this before, but hear it again. Be joyful always. Pray continually and give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. And I know we have all that together. I want to read it together. Pray continually. Be joyful always. Pray continually and give thanks in all circumstances. But I want to really focus on that last part, to give thanks in all circumstances. That's what really stuck out to me when I was thinking about this, is that it doesn't say give thanks in some circumstances. Give thanks when things are going well, but the rest of the time, don't worry about it. It says every time, every moment of your life, give thanks. As a matter of fact, the word there for all means the whole. I thought it meant each, every, like pos. It's not pos. It's a different word. It's related, though. But it means in the wholeness of your life, give thanks. In the totality of your life, give thanks. And by the way, since we're defining things real quickly, I want us to define the word giving thanks. I've done it before, but I want to do it again real quick. The word is eucharisto, and it means give good grace or to be thankful or give thanks. And here's a great definition I found that I thought was really helpful for me anyway. It says this: to acknowledge that God's grace works well for eternal gain and his glory. To recognize that in every situation, God's grace works well in our life for every situation for his gain, for our gain and his glory. That's what we're called to do. It says, why? And look at what it says right there. Give thanks in all circumstances. Why? Because this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Do you know that God has the desire for you in Christ Jesus? You know, we often say that, like, well, if you come to faith in Christ, you have eternal life, and we praise God for that. And you ought not fear death. We praise God for that. But there's a will of God in our lives, and it says it very clearly here in Thessalonians that part of God's will, or God's will, it doesn't say part of it, right, is that we would give thanks in all circumstances. No matter what's going on, no matter how things look, matter of fact, the sketchier it gets, the more we thank God for it. How do we do that practically? How do we thank God practically when it looks like things are going the wrong way? We know it's God's will in Christ Jesus toward us. So I just want to think about that for a minute, that God in his infinite wisdom, when he sent his son to die on the cross, it wasn't just that he would save us, but that he would make us thankful to him for everything in our lives. Everything. Now what I want you to do is go through and start to inventory your life and think, well, am I thankful for that? And 2020, if nothing else, has taught us that we are a skittish people, and we are often far from thanksgiving about things that don't seem to be going well right now. How many times have you in your life said, thank God for the hard thing? Thank God for the tragic thing? Thank God for the thing that I would have never wanted or wished in my whole life, but I got anyway? I don't know if you're like me, but I can't think of many times I've done that, where I've said, God, thank you for this, because it works your purposes in my life. Here's the big picture: for eternal gain and for your glory. It works these things out for your good. It being God's will for us in Christ means that it's his desire for us in Christ, but also means that in Christ, the response of thanks is to him because of Jesus. That's not a normal human response. We run from fear, or we run from bad things, right? We flee risk or bad outcomes. But it says, no, give thanks in all circumstances, because this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus toward you. So I wanted to kind of walk out, like, because you're like, man, that's crazy, right? But I wanted to think about it. How can you be thankful? I'm going to be real practical when things are not going well. First of all, be honest about things not going well. Just be honest about your life. This is not going according to plan. But then get off of that and start thinking about all the things that could be going worse, or what do you say, are going well. Because we have a tendency to see the thing that's going badly as the only thing that's going. And there's a bunch of stuff that's not going badly. And let me give you some real concrete examples. A lot of us are afraid we might get COVID. I mean, there's a bunch of people who are really, really afraid they might get COVID. If that's at you today and you're terrified you might get COVID, I have something you can be thankful for. You haven't got COVID yet. I mean, you still haven't got it. You say, well, I've been washing my hands, I've been wearing my mask. Yeah. But you can thank God that you haven't got it yet. Now, some of you are sitting here and you might say, yeah, well, dude, I've already had COVID. Okay, I'll say this. You can thank God that you've had it and you recovered from it. Like, wow, right? Thank God. Thank God I got it and I beat it. Praise God. We can do that. Wait a minute, though, Bill, you're not being fair. That's people who haven't got it and people who've gotten it and recovered, but some people have gotten it and gotten really sick and been in the hospital. Thank God for hospitals. Thank God you can jump in your car, drive 10 minutes, and have people take care of you who have expert training. Yeah, but Bill, you don't know. Some people go in the hospital and they die. You're right. And thank God that he has mercy in spite of what happens. Thank God that we are not left alone in that moment. I mean, even thinking about stuff that's really tragic, like you say, man, but people are dying alone in hospitals, and only the RN can stand there and console them. Thank God there's an RN standing there and consoling. Thank God there's family who are praying. One thing I've realized, I just went through yesterday, one thing I realized, it just becomes more and more evident the more you go to, is no matter how much time you have, you just want a little more. I can tell you this, it doesn't matter much in 2020, if you died of a car wreck or died of COVID, it's pretty tragic, and you grieve. It's not some special grieving category for COVID where, oh, that's worse because it's COVID. No, it's not. It's grief because death is part of this broken world that we live in. But listen, we can thank God for for the opportunity we have in Christ, even in death. We thank God for it. One of the things that really struck me about all this is, we talk about it, it's like the Bible is filled with these promises that God knows every hair on our head. He knows all the days of our life before one of them came to be. He knows the plans he has for us, declares the Lord. And we say all this stuff, and then we get some twist of fate, and we're like, this ain't the plan. Like, how do I know it's not the plan? We can thank God because he knows the plan. We can thank God for that. Let me tell you something even more tragic. I tell you what, and I'm not saying this stuff is like, I do this well. That's my, right? I'm saying that I've been able to witness people doing it well. I've witnessed people dying well. How many of you think about that? Are you going to be able to thank God when you're dying? Surrounded by family or on the phone with somebody and they're looking at you like, I love you so much. Told somebody I was talking to about it. They were married for over 50 years and spouse had passed away and they were just weeping and weeping. I said, it hurts so much. Can you thank God for that kind of a relationship? Whew, for all the years you take for granted. For all the years, the middle years, right? We appreciate the early ones, we appreciate the late ones, but the middle ones maybe sometimes we miss. We thank God for that. Thank God for a love so deep that it would make my life feel like it's going to unwind because someone's leaving. Listen, have you been there with a parent and you watch them go and you're broken, you cry. And someone stands up at a funeral and they give testimony and they say, this man or this woman changed my life. Do we thank God for that in the middle of the grief? One more hard one. Known people who've lost babies, lost infants, lost children, standing there and thanking God. And you say, how can you thank God for this? You lost all of their life. You didn't get to see any of it. I got to know them. I got to know them for 72 hours. I heard a mom say that one time. I got to spend 72 hours with my baby. I mean, and then we're going to say, how can we be thankful? Thank God for the things. See, it's about thanking God in everything. I remember one time watching a mom and a dad stand graveside, worshiping God with their hands in the air as they bury their infant. Not just because they thank God in all circumstances. It instructs me. So what does that mean for us then? And that's just the heavy stuff. What about the light stuff? You know, thank God that, you know, you have a job to go to. Or thank God you have a job where you can stay home. Or thank God you can go to the pantry and get some assistance. Or thank God we live in a country that has some supports for people who need financial help. Thank God, the government mailed out crazy stimulus checks. I mean, I don't know, whatever. You know, thank God for the things that come because they're gifts from him. What circumstances have you faced in 2020 that you can thank God for? Listen, what remains in 2020 to be redeemed that you can thank God for? The opportunities. That's where I find myself, my heart, is turning toward the future. All the anxiety and all the concern, looking ahead. But do we thank God for them? I would encourage you to enumerate the list. One thing I found this week is that as you thank God, you can continue to do it and do it more and do it more. And there's so much to be thankful for. But it doesn't happen until you do the work of thanking God for it. It's not automatic. Just think about it. It's to say it. God, thanks for that. Wow. Have you ever had that, right? I've had that before. You have an accident, and you walk out, and your car is totaled and all that, but everybody's fine. You say, wow, thank God, it's just a car, right? There's so many times that we can live our lives that way in appreciation and thanks. I remember one time, and sometimes things stick, right? And I don't know why they stick and don't stick, but I think I've shared this with you before, but I just wanted to say it one more time because it stuck with me for years and years and years now. I heard a pastor talking about, and I can't remember who it was. I give him credit if I could think of it. I couldn't tell if it was a big time, small time. Doesn't matter to me. It was a word that someone shared, but they were talking about Thanksgiving being an attitude. And I always think about attitude like about how your headset is, right? Where your mind's at. Like, get a better attitude, you know, you tell people. Usually when I have a bad attitude, I say that to people. Get a better attitude, kid. But attitude, and Dale can correct me, is when you're flying, he meant attitude in the way of the directional, the pitch of the plane. And so if your nose up, it's attitude. Is that right? The attitude of the plane? Okay. That's what the guy said. I mean, sometimes pastors don't say things that are true, so I don't know. But that's what he said, and it stuck in my mind. I don't want to say it again, perpetuate the myth, but he said it's about your attitude. And so that struck me because I think about it, it's like, it don't mean you have to be like going straight up like a jet, you know, this crazy 90-degree attitude, but it means that if you just tilt it a degree, you're climbing. You're getting some, and this is what life is, right? And then if you're leveled out, okay, but then if you're down at all, here it goes. And that's the attitude he meant. Have an attitude of thanksgiving where you're just bending it toward Christ. Just aiming it up a little more in all circumstances. So maybe you say, that's crazy. I can't stand by the graveside, put my hands in the air and praise. I ain't asking you to go out there and make a show of that. But just do that little thing in your heart. Do that little movement. God, thanks. Thanks that you're sustaining me for this time. Thanks that you've not abandoned me and left me alone. Thanks that I had all the good years. Thanks that I had all the time. Thanks that you've blessed me. And all that stuff just begins to cause that thing to ascend. Our hearts, our minds, our spirits. Because that's God's will for us in Christ Jesus, to give thanks. The second way we can do it then, so that's one, that's the overarching message, is give thanks to God in all circumstances, so we do it all the time. But the second thing is, how do we do it? And one of the ways we do it is through prayer and petition. Through prayer and petition. I'm going to ask you to turn to Philippians, and it's going to be chapter 4 of Philippians, verses 4 through 7. It's on page 820, if you have one of our Bibles in your hands, page 820, Philippians 4, 6 through 7. This is what the word says. I'm going to read through from 4 because I just love it so much. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all because the Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. So give thanks in everything. I want you to see that sentence. We're going to look at 6. Don't be anxious about anything at all, but in everything, the opposite of anything, everything, the totality of it, skip that little part by prayer and petition and says, with thanksgiving. So don't be anxious about anything, but in everything, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. How? How do you present your request to God? Through prayer and petition, right? And so I'm going to say something this morning that if you have found yourself being anxious or anxiety-ridden, there's a solution for anxiety, and it's to pray. It's to pray. It's written right there. Talk to, by the way, prayer, let's get it off the high shelf. It's just talking to God. You just have a conversation with God about what's going on in your life. Prayer and petition is the way to overcome anxiety. It says it right there in the scripture. And so if you're having those kind of thoughts and those kind of difficulties, the solution is to pray, to talk to God about it. I just want to pull it out of the text again real quick. Present your request to God. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, with thanksgiving, present your request to God, right? Or if you just boil it all down, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, present your request to God. How? With thanksgiving. How? Through prayer and petition. You see how that breaks down there? And then look at 7, the promise. And then the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Anxiety to peace. That's what the promise is there in that verse. Thank God through prayer and petition. So I want to break those out for a minute, like we did just a minute ago. What does it mean to pray? We know that a little bit. And to have a petition. Well, I looked into this, and it means to lean toward, exchange a wish, or to lean towards, exchange a wish or a prayer I always don't like it. I don't like it. I don't say hate it, but that's not too strong a word. Whenever you use the word in the definition that's used in the defining word. Anyway, just my little nerd thing. It literally said that. Prayer is equal to prayer. Yeah, we know that. But basically, here's how you say it. Let God know the things you want. Let God know the things you want. That's what prayer is. Literally, that's what the word means. Sometimes I think I don't know why we're talking about that, maybe why we're afraid to let God know what we want in our lives. But there's no restriction on what we talk to God about what we want. You might say, well, now wait, and I've been around church for a minute now. They say, wait a minute, now if you ask in accordance to God's will, he'll give it. And we do all these kind of caveats for why, blah, blah. It's not about that. It's about letting God know the things that you desire. This is what I want, Lord. I've told you before, and it's stunning to me that's in the scriptures, but Jesus himself in Gethsemane before the cross, he said, I don't want this. That was his prayer. If there's any other way, take this cup from me. That's him saying, this is not what I want. Then we know he finished it, but not my will, but your will. But there's nothing wrong with expressing the desires that God has in your life, the things that you want in this life. Matter of fact, it might be that through prayer, we need to confess them so that he can rightly correct our heart's desires. I want that? Why do I want that even? Or it might be that he wants to fulfill it. You let him know what you let him know what you want, and then you get it, and you can thank God because he gave it to you. Thank you, God, for what you've blessed me with. I can go on and on here about illustrations where I've seen that actually work in people's lives. They've been wringing their hands and talking and thinking and doing and planning and everything else, but they've not one time talked to God about what they wanted. And they come to me and they say, man, Bill, I don't know how this is ever going to change. And I said, have you prayed about it? No, let's pray about it. Because you know why? I don't know how to help them do that thing. And we just pray about it. God, you know this person. You know their life. And I'm not saying it's my prayer. It's not. We're praying together. And then guess what? They come back. You won't believe what happened. Okay. God answered the prayer. God gets the glory. The things that we want in our lives, we're allowed to tell God about. As a matter of fact, can I be so bold as to say that if in your prayer time you can't be self-reflective enough to recognize your desires and make them known to God, you might be being dishonest. Do you think you're tricking him? Do you think he doesn't know what you want? Do you think he doesn't see what you pursue? So rather than do that, with thanksgiving, pray to God. The second one, then, is a petition. Now, this is interesting because this is a need. This is a lack in your life. This isn't a want, like, I desire this thing. It's something that you actually need. As a matter of fact, and this stunned me specifically, because this is an older material I've worked from, it said, specifically, this is a felt need that is personal and urgent. It's really needed. So on one side, you're like, these things I desire, I'd like to have. On the other side, these things that you need. It's a great promise that says that God knows what you need before you ask, but you need some things in your life. He's not unaware of this. And that's what you petition for, the needs. By the way, separating out wants and needs is a whole mature adulting thing to do. To figure out the difference between wants and needs. Do you want it or do you need it? But you can let God know these things in your life that you need, or these felt needs even. I feel like I need someone to come beside me. I feel like I need this new opportunity. I feel like I need some solution. I feel like I need to do more in my life. Make those things known to God. How? With thanksgiving. The word there again is Eucharisto. It's what Jesus did. Every time he broke bread at the Last Supper, he gave thanks. When he fed 5,000, he gave thanks. When God revealed himself to others, he gave thanks. So you make these things known with thanksgiving in your heart. God, thank you for this. Thank you for the opportunities. Thank you for these needs in my life. They are good for your good eternal purpose and for my eternal gain. So I'm convinced now then that one of the things that, one of the ways we can most honor God is to be honest with him in prayer. But I'm not talking about street corner praying here. I hope you are in your life praying in private somewhere. If it's in your car, if it's, you know, Just find a spot and pray. And I hope in those moments you're being honest. I think one way you honor God in our relationship with him is to be honest with him above everything else and everyone else. That we're talking to God about what's really going on in our lives. I'll say one more thing here. I think that sometimes, maybe, we're afraid to ask God because we're afraid to be disappointed. Bill, you don't know how bad. Man, I'm afraid because if I ask and I don't get it, oh, then, you know, this whole relationship with God thing's on the rocks. Listen, that's a problem right there. Like, have the conversation, trust in God, and again, he will either correct our hearts. I mean, I don't know. He'll do whatever he wants. He's God. But you ought to not do it because of it. You still do it. So don't be afraid to ask. Do not be afraid to ask. We've kind of recoiled from this stuff because of some of the ways that the scriptures have been abused, and I get it. But listen, God loves you. He desires things for you in this life. He wants you for eternity, but he's going to use you. He's going to bless you, and that blessing might be hard. It might not be the path you choose, but he has a purpose for it, and that we ought to be unafraid to ask. He's our Heavenly Father. I'm going to ask you to turn now to Psalm. We got two more here. There's four total. Psalm 95. And we're just going to do verses 1, 2, and 3. Psalm 95. Here's the next thing we can do. Come, let us sing for joy to the Lord. Let us shout aloud to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before him with thanksgiving and extol him with music and song. Because the Lord is the great God and his great king, and the great king above all gods. Read it again. Come, let us sing with joy to the Lord. Let us shout aloud to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before him with thanksgiving and extol him with music and with song. Because the Lord is the great God and the great king above all gods. So we're called to what? Come and raise our hands to the Lord. To raise our hands to the Lord. Now, you might be surprised and you might say, well, I didn't hear raise the hands in there, but I want to kind of walk through it. When it says, let us come sing for joy to the Lord, it's talking about coming before his face. It's saying, recognize in your life that you're standing before the God of the universe. The same word is used in Numbers, and it's called countenance. May the Lord lift his countenance upon you, his face, his presence. In my mind, I was thinking before his throne, and that's probably fair, but it's not in the text, but it means before his person in your life. It says what? Come, let us sing for joy to the Lord or before the Lord. Or verse 2, let us come before him, that's in his countenance, with thanksgiving. That's a normal part of our life. But the thanksgiving here is not Eucharisto, of course, because this is Hebrew. So what is it? It's Todah. And it literally means an extension of the hand. That's what it means to give thanks in the Old Testament. Thanksgiving is to extend your hand, to raise your hand in adoration or in confession or in worship. When was the last time in your life that you recognized you're living it before God? All of your life. Like, we come in here sometimes, and sometimes in a church it can be a show to raise your hand. Sometimes you just, I fight that all the time because I don't want to raise my hand because if I raise my hand, but then I want to raise my hand, and I just have this big, and then God's like, just, you know, adore me, man. And I'm like, okay, and I do it and all that. But sometimes in your life, right, you do this same kind of thing. Maybe you don't. I do. Because it's not about a show, it's about a position of our heart, raising our hands to the Lord, honoring him, adoring him, confessing who he is, worshiping him. And by the way, I said that earlier, we're going to come to that, that it says in here, make song to the Lord, but it says to worship, that worship him is a different, like it's a more inclusive part of life. It's not just music. That's nothing taking away from music. The Lord loves music and people love music, and that's God's design in us. There's a purpose for it, but this worship is more full in our lives than that. You can worship God a whole bunch of ways, but when's the last time you recognized that you were before God in it. So what are some ways that we can do this in our lives? We talk about, you know, thanking God and praying and petitioning, but you can thank God, and how can you do it? You can raise your hand in worship and adoration, right? Matter of fact, I would even say so boldly that if you felt like I'm not one of those people, you might need to raise your hand more than anybody else, because you're going to have this huge fight about it. Right, come on it. You get the little half arm raise. Oh, I'm praising you in my heart. And God's like, your heart, dude, praise me. What are we doing? Some of you go, that's no problem. I do it all the time. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. You know, you can raise your hand in serving others. You can raise your hand by serving others. I was reminded that when we were at the pantry, just running around. We were having fun. It wasn't even hard. And like Steve said, I was like, that was cool. Yeah. Praise the Lord. Raising a hand that he's honored. Do you recognize that when you're doing this, you're blessing others in the name of Christ, that you in your mind, you can say, I'm before the Lord, and I'm bringing glory to God right now by the things that I'm doing, the way I'm serving others, in quiet ways, by the way, not in public ways, in real ways. I'm serving, I'm raising my hands to him. You can raise your hands in testimony. You know? Do you ever think about that? Somebody calls you up and they're having a hard time or whatever, and you just tell them, look, I know it's hard, but God's there. It's raising your hand. You may not literally have your hand raised, but you're testify. Think about that when you're in the school and the teacher asks a question. Well, I got an answer. That's what the scripture says, isn't it? It says, always be ready with an answer when people ask, right? Raise your hand in testimony. I'll tell you about this Jesus who never leaves us alone, who died for my sins and yours, that we could all be forgiven. Listen, and that we could worship him forever. It is his will. He can turn a terrible thing into a blessing that you can't imagine. And then the last way I was thinking about it, and there's more. You can raise your hands and surrender. Do you ever think about that? When you're an enemy of God, or enemy of anybody, what do they say in the old movies? Like, come out with your people, right? People in the streets rioting, saying, hands up, don't shoot, right? Why is that? Because I'm surrendering. But, you know, step back toward the car, interlock your finger. I don't know. I've never done that. No, I have. That's happened. Click, click. Okay. You know, it's like, but you surrender. You're not going to fight. You're not going to flee. You're done with this. You can raise your hand and surrender to the Lord. God, I've tried it. I'm done. Come out. He's a merciful God. He's a saving God. And you can surrender to him fully in your life. Matter of fact, going back to being afraid to ask, that might be even tied in there, that we're afraid, that we don't surrender. We won't surrender to God. We still want to control the things instead of trusting God with them. And then we'll close with this last one. This is in Ephesians. So that's it. So raising, giving thanks God, extolling him with music and song. And that's going to be tied in because we're going to go to Ephesians chapter 5. If I can find it, there it is. Ephesians 5, and just a couple verses here, 18 through 20. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery, but instead be filled with the Holy Spirit, speaking to one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Sing and make music to him in your heart, to the Lord. Always giving thanks to God the Father for everything, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. So you heard at the end there again, right? Always giving thanks to God for everything. And I almost left off 18. Just do 19 only. Speak to one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. But I cannot ever leave off that verse before it, because it's always interesting to me that says, don't be drunk on wine. That's an option you have. And coming into the holiday seasons, you know, we can have some drink. That's one of the things that people do this time. But instead, be filled with the Holy Spirit. That's interesting to me. Be filled with the Spirit instead. And then upon that exhortation to be filled with the Spirit of God, 19 says, speak to one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. We sang that song this morning, and the last one, it was a new song that we sang? Yeah, new song. I didn't have my repertoire at all, and I was working it out and thinking, and I'm like, man, this is all about talking to other people. And I'm like, yeah, that's exactly what they're commanded to do in Ephesians. Encourage one another to submit to God. Encourage one another to recognize God. How? I've said this before. I'm not going to preach that again, but it says in Psalms, by the way, isn't it funny that Psalms sounds like palms? Just got an S in there, palms. Hymns and spiritual songs. This is what I want to focus on, though. Sing and make music in your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so he says, at the end, you're going to thank God for everything because you're filled with the Spirit. You're going to give God thanks for everything. And in the first time, it was like, thank God in all circumstances. It was a singular, the whole circumstance. But this is interesting because in Ephesians it says, give God thanks for all things, and it's plural. So kind of the other side of it was like the whole of our lives, but this is going to be every little thing in our life we can sing and give praise to the Lord for. In the name, in the character, in the fame, in the reputation of our Lord Jesus to God the Father. That means that when we're, I will say this again, we said it kind of earlier, but when we act in thanksgiving, we are acting like Christ. See, that's what's kind of funny about it. It's like we often don't automatically go into this mode, but when you thank God, you act like Christ. And it says you're giving thanks to him in the name of, or in the character of, or in the same way at the reputation of the Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't it interesting? It says that our Lord Jesus Christ. To who? God the Father. Give thanks in everything. Speaking to each other with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. And then listen to this. Making music in your heart to the Lord. Now, we said earlier about the band up here, and we praise God for the band. Made joke about Emily breaking her bass because she was rocking so hard in rehearsal. But I love this because it doesn't say, go watch the band make music to the Lord. It doesn't say, go and enjoy someone else making music to the Lord. It says, go make music in the Lord from your heart. And what does the word making music mean? And I love this. It cracks me up, but it means to pull, twitch, twang, play, or sing. So are you a little awkward when you sing? Praise God. Do you get a little bouncy when you sing? Praise God. That's not weird. Make some music in your heart to the Lord in thanksgiving. It's normal. We're coming into the season of Christmas, and man, I love Christmas season. But we were up here last night buttoning up some things, and God bless him, but my little grandson, who's been a full entertainment this morning right here in the front, this was on the ground because he loves stuff like this. And he crawled over to it, and he does this. What is that? Yeah. And usually it was parents, musicians, of course. No, it's something in us. And maybe you've suppressed it. Let me tell you something, church. Maybe someone has told you at some point, your voice, don't sing. Please don't sing. Maybe someone has told you, you can't play guitar very well. Maybe someone's told you, stop trying to express that. But listen, that is a God-given gift to make music to him in our hearts. Now, some of us shouldn't play tambourine, because I've tried, and it just sounds crazy when I play it. But maybe you're great at playing it. Or maybe something else. Listen, what does it say? In your heart, make music to the Lord. Praise him. Thank him with thanksgiving. Giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. So let me ask you, how do you pull, twitch, twang, play, and sing in your heart? What song, what music do you make? Like, do you have that? Is it awake in you? And are you doing it? I've talked to people before and they've said, I just don't feel like it. It's been hard lately. I want to say something. This is counterintuitive. We are physical beings. You have to do things. We can't sit around and wait to feel it. If we sat around and waited to feel to do something, we wouldn't do anything. We'd just lay there like, I'm just not feeling it. I'm just feeling laying here. Like, that's what you're doing. Have you ever had that? But if you get up and you start to get ready for something, you're like, you know, I'm going to pick it up. I'm going to play with this. Or I'm going to put on my pants and go outside today. Which is not something I thought I'd have to tell anybody a year ago. Or myself. Bill, you got to put on your pants and go outside today. But that's where we are. To what? Make music. To get the blood flowing. To begin to twitch and twang and play and sing in our hearts to the Lord. Whew, listen. If you want this to change, serve. All of a sudden, your perspective changes. Oh, we can still make a difference. Oh, we can still bless people. We can still be excited about the future. Praise God. We're coming into the season. It's so funny, man, because Christmas season. And every year there's this big thing about Christmas songs, you know, and there are people, there's like two camps. Two people go, I love it. I love to go to the store and the music's playing and I can hear it and all that. And other people are like, man, I do not want to hear this music again, right? Like, and you go, what? Yeah, I know good Christian folks who are like, not Christmas music, please, please, right? There was a song this week, I got in trouble in my house because I showered, came out of the shower and I was singing it. And Chris is like, really, Christmas songs? Now, she likes Christmas songs, but during Christmas. Right? And I guess the pre-Thanksgiving Christmas song was too much. I said, Chris, that is not a Christmas song. It's a worship song. She goes, Bill, it's a Christmas song. What is it? The thrill of hope. A weary world rejoices. For yonder breaks a new and glorious morn. Fall on your knees. That's a worship song, y'all. Yes! Oh, night divine, oh, night when Christ was born. Man, what a great thing to have in our heart, right? To be singing. And she's like, that's not a Christmas song. I mean, it's a Christmas song, but it's not a Christmas song. That's a worship song. That's worship. She's like, Bell, that's Christmas. I'm like, no, it's not. It's not. Jingle bells, that's a Christmas song. Chestnuts roasting on, that's a Christmas song. Those got nothing to do with Christ. But some of these songs in the season are all about adoring Jesus Christ and who he is and playing and twitching and twanging in our souls that we wake up again and say, yes, he is worthy of worship. And let me tell you, it'll all get mixed together unless you pay attention. You can worship the chestnuts roasting on open fire, but it's not Christ. It's not Christ. There's a difference between Christmas songs, I'm putting those in quotes, like the seasonal songs, I'll say that way, and worship songs at Christmas. What's awakening in us this time of year? What are we longing toward? There's a difference. We ought to be worshipers of God. We ought to sing to the Lord in our hearts. So what about you? As we wrap it up today, do you think that your cup is overflowing in 2020? Or do you feel like you have barely enough to make it another day? Here's another thing I could ask. What can you thank God for? I remember a few years ago, one of Chris's aunts started a tradition at the family gathering where she got a tablecloth and put it out and said, everyone write on it. For kids who don't write like on their desks and stuff, that was hard to do. Come to terms, we're going to write on the tablecloth, and she packed it up and put it away, and then get it out next year, right on the tablecloth. What are you thankful for? Three times, and four times, and five times. And then you begin to go, wow, we have so much to be thankful for. You could do that if you're gathering. I looked up, if you can believe it, there's a game called the Thanksgiving game. It's actually a real board game. I didn't buy it because it's $30, and it ain't available till like February or something. It's like, it got this like 60s or 70s cover on it, you know, it's like parents, like, you know, it's like super awesome, cheesy in the right ways. But I looked at the game and it's like, oh, you take a card and you write, what am I thankful for? And you write three things down that you're thankful for. You mix them up in a pile and then you read them aloud, the moderator, and everyone guesses who it was. You don't have to spend $30 to do that. I just saved you $30. Why not in? You ever done that? You're around the table, people. We're going around the table, and everybody say something you're thankful for. These are ways that we can change our attitude toward God. These are ways we can change the attitudes of our households toward God. I'm going to read to you from the Gospel of Mark, and we're going to pray. Mark 17, just hear it with me, says this. When evening came, Jesus arrived with the 12, and while they were reclining at the table eating, he said, I tell you the truth, one of you will betray me, the one who's eating with me. And they all became very sad. And then one by one, they said to him, surely it's not I. And he said, it is indeed one of the 12, the one who dips his hand in the bowl with me. The Son of Man will go, just as written about him. But woe to the one who betrays the Son of Man. It would be better for that one if he was not born. And while they were yet eating, Jesus took bread and gave thanks, Eucharistoed. And he broke it and he gave it to his disciples and he said, take it and eat. This is my body. And he took the cup and he Eucharistoed, thank God for it. And he offered it to them and they all drank from it. And he said, this is the blood of my new promise, which is poured out for many. And he said this, I tell you the truth, I will not drink again of the fruit of this vine until the day when I drink it anew in God's kingdom. And after they had done all these things, they sung a hymn and they went out to the Mount of Olives to pray. Jesus models the same behavior for us in our lives. To always, always, always thank God. Pray with me if you would. Father God, we do give you thanks and praise in Jesus' name today. We recognize that all the things that we've done have been before you and in your face, in front of you, in your countenance. And Lord, we recognize that our Savior Jesus, in that moment of great distress and great tribulation, he came and gave thanks to you. Lord, our hearts, we confess, can get so self-centered, so broken, so confused about the way things are that we can't even thank you for things that are great. Oh Lord, would you awaken in us a thankful spirit? Would you adjust our attitude just enough towards you? And Lord, as we lean into the season and we look back and we, even as we try to reorient our experiences in the story of your creation, may we do so with thanksgiving to you because you are good. Lord, you have been good. And Lord, you will be good to us. We love you so much. We thank you for this opportunity, and not only this, but also for the chance to live this out in our lives. May you be glorified. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen.